During the public ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, great crowds and multitudes of people followed him from place to place. In the Gospels, we often read of the vast numbers of people which flocked to see and to hear the Savior. But as we consider the nature of the crowds of people which followed the Savior, it becomes clear that these people were not all supporters of the Lord Jesus. They were not all supporters of him. In fact, we can divide the multitudes which followed the Lord into four different groups, or four different categories. There were his disciples, which followed Christ because they loved him. These men loved him. And these people, they delighted in the Savior. And so they loved to be with him. They loved to sit under his ministry. They loved to be taught by the Savior. And that's why they followed him, because they truly delighted in the Lord. Then there were those that were distressed. These people followed Christ because of their need of him. They realized they needed the Savior. They had witnessed perhaps his miracles. They had heard him preach. And they thought, this is the man. This is the one that can meet my need. This is the one that can heal me of my disease. This is the one that can deliver me from demon possession. This is the one who can help my children. This is the one that can bring life with his death. And so there were those that were distressed that followed Christ because they needed him. And so his disciples followed him. The distressed followed him. And again, as we examine God's word, we see another group of people that enthusiastically followed Christ from place to place. These people were those that were dazzled by him. These people followed Christ to see something sensational. They wanted to see something that was marvelous, perhaps another wonderful miracle. And these people loved to see miracles. They loved to see something sensational. And they were dazzled by his fame, his celebrity status that he had there in Judea and Galilee. And they went about and they followed Christ because they wanted to witness something marvelous and sensational. I believe this was the majority of the crowd. This was the vast majority of those that followed Christ were made up of such people. They just wanted to witness something sensational. And so we have those that followed him that were his disciples, those that were distressed, those that were dazzled. Then, of course, another group which followed Christ were his detractors. They followed Christ because they wanted to destroy him. They wanted to oppose him. They wanted to entrap him. They wanted to criticize him. They were his detractors. And these people mostly came from the leaders of the Jews. And they sought by hard questions, and they sought by different means to ensnare the Savior and to injure and to harm his ministry. They were his detractors. And so although the Savior was followed by many people, yet out of the multitudes that flocked to hear him and see him, there was only a small section that truly loved him and that truly wanted to know about him. Only a very small section, only a few that truly were his people and his followers. This has always been the case in this world. In this world of wickedness and sin, in this world of rebellion, a man's heart is set against God and bent on doing that which is pleasing in his own sight. This has always been the state. God's people have always only been the remnant, only been the small group of people. However, as we turn to God's word this evening, I want us to consider a man that was not found among the crowds that followed Christ. The reason why this man was not found among those which sought the Savior is because he was blind. And in his blindness, he was prevented from following the Lord Jesus. Instead, his days were spent sitting by the highway outside Jericho, begging for a living. This is how this man occupied his day. This is how this man put in his time. By sitting outside of the city of Jericho, begging, looking for money that he might be able to feed himself. This man's name was Bartimaeus. And he is referred to in Scripture as blind Bartimaeus. Blind Bartimaeus was at a great disadvantage. For his blindness meant he was unable to follow Christ. He was unable to follow Christ from town to town, village to village, and to hear him preach. His blindness meant he was unable to see Christ's mighty works. He never once witnessed a miracle. He never once witnessed Christ healing someone that was terribly diseased, or someone that was blind, or someone that was lame. He never once witnessed Christ's miracles. His blindness also meant he was unable to witness the Savior's perfect and sinless life. He didn't ever witness the Savior, as he lived that life of righteousness and holiness. Indeed, any news Bartimaeus would have received of the Savior would have been second hand. No doubt, as he sat by the highway and listened to the chatter of people passing, the conversation at that time would all have been about this man, Jesus. And perhaps as he sat there and as people dropped in their coins, his ears very quickly perked up as he heard the name Jesus and what Jesus was doing. He was healing people. He was delivering people from various illnesses and sicknesses. And he listened and he heard about these things. But it was all secondhand. Listen to other people's experiences. Listening to what other people had witnessed. And so this man, blind Bartimaeus, was at a great disadvantage. Yet in another sense, he was a greatly privileged man. A greatly privileged man. You see, even though he was blind physically and hindered from seeing and following Christ in the physical sense, nevertheless, he was blessed with great spiritual sight. He possessed saving faith. He could see by faith his need of Christ, and that faith brought him to enjoy the greatest blessing man can ever come to know. The blessing of salvation in Christ. Bartimaeus was blessed with faith, spiritual sight, and that brought him to the place in his life where he came to enjoy God's salvation. In verse 52, Christ speaks of blind Bartimaeus' faith. Notice what it says here in verse 52 in Mark 10. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." Thy faith has made thee whole. Bartimaeus was a man of faith. And through faith, he was made whole. This evening then, as I want us to consider this passage of Scripture, and I want us to consider Bartimaeus, and to look at the subject, blind saving faith. Blind saving faith, as it is witnessed here in the life of Bartimaeus. In many ways, Bartimaeus leaves each person who hears the plain preaching of the gospel without excuse. For despite all his disadvantages, despite all his problems, he with great resolve sought Christ. When his opportunity came, when Christ passed by where he was sitting, he grasped that opportunity and he laid hold upon Christ and he embraced Christ as a Savior. And so, in many ways, he leaves all who have heard of Christ, all who have heard the gospel, without excuse. Here was a man who was blind, who was sitting beside the wayside from day in and day out. Very limited, very restricted in what he was able to do. And yet, when the opportunity arose, he by faith embraced Christ. Took Christ as a Savior. Here you are tonight in God's house. Here we are once again around the Word of God. And here is your opportunity. Here is your time. Christ is passing us by tonight. He's coming into our midst. He is here as the Word of God is opened. He says this. He promises us this in His truth. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Here tonight is your opportunity to seize hold upon Christ as your Savior and to take Him by faith and call upon Him. And so we see in the life of Bartimaeus, blind saving faith. Notice firstly then, as we think of this man, we see the desire in his faith. The desire in his faith. See what it says in verses 47 and 48. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." The desire of Bartimaeus is very clearly set forth in his cry to Christ. "And Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." This poor blind man desired the mercy of Christ. That's what he desired, the mercy of Christ. As Bartimaeus sat daily by the wayside, he sat there desiring money, begging for money that he might live. But as Jesus Christ comes by, it's not money that he desires any longer. It is mercy. It's the mercy of the Savior. This was his desire. This was his longing. Mercy is a quality that is often misunderstood. People mix it up with grace and love. Showing love is being good to others. That's what love is, being good and kind to others. Showing grace is being good to others that don't deserve it. Those who don't deserve good, when we show them good, that is showing grace. But showing mercy is being good to those that are in misery. Being good to those who are in misery. Mercy is feeling for and helping those who are afflicted. And this is what Bartimaeus asked Christ for. Help me in my great trouble. Help me and deliver me from the misery that I exist in. That's what he was asking Christ for. Have mercy. Show mercy towards me. I'm in this miserable state. I'm in this afflicted state. I'm in this sorrowful state. Therefore, show mercy. His faith led him to seek mercy of Christ. Saving faith always does this in the soul of a sinner. This is what saving faith does. It moves the sinner to seek Christ for mercy. David, as he felt his sin and misery, prayed, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David desired mercy when he felt his sin. The desire of faith will always be to seek for mercy. That's what it will always be for mercy. You see, saving faith brings us to see our own true state. And an awareness of that state leads us to seek help and mercy. As Bartimaeus sought for mercy that he might be delivered from the misery of his condition, we see here that he was looking for mercy to be saved from darkness. That's why he needed mercy, because he was in a state of darkness. Being blind, Bartimaeus existed in a perpetual state of blackness and darkness. His physical handicap impeded him from seeing. It impeded him from experiencing the light and beauty of God's creation. He was blind, and so he could not see God's creation. He couldn't see the beauty of this world because he was blind. Now, as we think of the darkness Bartimaeus lived in, we can say the darkness which he lived in was the result of his own personal condition. He was not in darkness because there was no light. He wasn't in darkness because there was no light. Instead, he was in darkness for he had not the ability to see the light. And that's the point here. He hadn't the ability to see the light. He hadn't the strength. He was blind personally. And so therefore, despite the fact that there was light and there was a created world and there was beauty to behold, he couldn't do it because of his own personal condition. This reminds us of man and sin. Man and sin exists in a state of spiritual darkness, not because there is no light, but sinful man exists in darkness because he in and of himself is spiritually blind, and he does not have the ability to see the light. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, and the work of salvation is the most beautiful and the most wondrous work that any man could ever see. A most splendid work. But the problem is, man and sin exists in this miserable state of darkness. The eyes of his soul have been put out by sin. And this is man's natural condition. The prophet Isaiah speaks of the result of this terrible darkness in sinful man by declaring, when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, there's everything in Christ that should move man to desire him. He is God's Son, and he's provided salvation in full for sinners. In Jesus Christ, there is forgiveness. In Jesus Christ, there's peace with God. In Jesus Christ, there's everlasting life. In Jesus Christ, there's joy. In Jesus Christ, there is an eternal home in heaven. And this is what he provides. He is the most beautiful and the most wonderful person. He provides all of this for sinful man. And yet the sad thing is, the vast majority in this world see no beauty in him. He's despised and he's rejected of men. And why is it sinners reject Christ tonight? Because just like Bartimaeus was physically blind, they're spiritually blind. And they turn their backs upon him, who they should desire, who they should seek after, who they should long to be with. Because they're blind. That's why sinners reject Christ. Because they're in this awful state of darkness. Bartimaeus, He was looking for mercy to be saved from darkness. He was also looking for mercy to be saved from destitution. In verse 46, we read of how Bartimaeus begged. His physical condition meant he could not work and earn a living. And so he was reduced to begging that he might have a living. The mercy he sought from Christ was mercy, that he might be saved from the state of destitution, the state of poverty. The poverty of Bartimaeus was the direct result of his blindness. Of course, the two went hand in hand. He was poor and destitute because he was blind. He was blind. He couldn't work. He couldn't actually hold down a job and do physical labor because he was blind. Again, we can see here that which points to man and sin. Man and sin is in a state of spiritual darkness, blinded by the God of this world, as 2 Corinthians 4 and 4 tells us. But with this blindness comes a terrible poverty. What poverty and destitution man blinded by sin exists in. He is so poor, he is so bankrupt, that he cannot in any way please God. And this is man's bankrupt state. This is man's destitution. Man in sin is so poor, he is so bankrupt, that he cannot in any way please God. He cannot earn anything that will be of merit or value before God. There's nothing man can do that will give him a standing with God. Absolutely nothing. Romans 3:23 tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And coming short of the glory of God means that man cannot meet the mark. He cannot meet the standard. He misses every time. And so here we are in this world as sinful creatures. We try our best. We try to do our best and to live as upright and respectable a life as we can. And yet all along, we're missing the mark. Every day we miss the mark. We are so bankrupt and corrupt. King David, who was a man of great financial wealth, said in Psalm 34, verse 6, this poor, or we could literally read it, this destitute man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David recognized he was a poor man, a destitute man. And out of his own poverty, like Bartimaeus, he cried to God, have mercy. Have mercy. Let me ask you, what is your desire tonight? Here we've read about Bartimaeus' desire, the desire of saving faith. It was for mercy. But what is your desire? As Christ is passing by this way, as Christ has come into our meeting tonight, what is your desire? As a sinner that is in darkness, as a sinner that is destitute, is your desire for mercy, the mercy of God's salvation found in Jesus Christ? You see, this is the desire of faith. This is the desire of faith. Faith that saves. And so we see here the desire of his faith. But notice with me also here, as we consider Bartimaeus, the determination in his faith. We have this in verse 48. Again, notice what it says. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. As the Lord Jesus passed by the place outside Jericho where Bartimaeus sat, Bartimaeus started to cry out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And on he went, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. The crying of this man annoyed many that were there. They charged him. They said, Bartimaeus, hold your peace, man. Be quiet. We're trying to see the Savior. We're trying to hear him speak. Would you be quiet and sit there? You can imagine the situation. This man who was blind, and he was despised, and he was crying out at the top of his voice, while all along the people were trying to hear and see the Savior. And so they charged him, listen, be quiet, Bartimaeus, we've heard enough. However, instead of ceasing his calling out, he engaged in it all the more. Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And he got louder and louder and louder. You see, faith brought him to the place where he was absolutely determined that he would not miss the Savior. He wasn't going to miss this moment. Christ was not going to go by without hearing Bartimaeus' voice. This great determination to meet Christ shows us Bartimaeus' faith was shameless. It was shameless faith. It did not matter what others said to him or thought of him. All he was concerned about was meeting Christ. He was completely sold out to the truth that Christ was the answer to his need. And so unashamedly, he seeks for the Lord Jesus. He continued to call. Not going to miss it. Not going to miss Christ here today. That's what he thought. And see, this is the nature of saving faith. It is shameless. Absolutely shameless. People are ashamed of Christ. But when faith, saving faith, is found within the soul, people are not ashamed of Christ. They will flee to him. And they will lay hold upon him. God speaking to contrite Israel in Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye search for me with all your heart." What was Christ saying? You'll find me when you come unashamedly and with great determination lay hold upon me. That's who are saved. Those that come to Christ unashamedly and lay hold upon him. Remember also the words of the Savior in Luke 13, 24. He says, "Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, shall seek to enter in and shall not be able." He says, strive. And what is striving? Striving implies determination. It implies a seeking after, a pressing to go in. And this is how Christ speaks about salvation. You see, saving faith will not rest until it finds what it's seeking for. True saving faith will strive, it will seek, it will shamelessly call out until it finds the one who can save. Until it finds the Lord Jesus. Let us note this very carefully tonight. You see, when Christ was on earth, he never sought to coax people into saying a prayer. He never once tried to coerce people into making a profession. Instead, he preached the truth. He preached the truth. And faith brought people to seek him. That's what happened. Now, as you have heard the truth of Christ, as you have heard the truth of the gospel, have you sought Christ? Have you? Has there been that time in your life's experience where you have said, "I need the Lord. I need Christ to be my Savior. I recognize I'm a sinner. And I'm a perishing sinner. I'm perishing in the darkness and destitution of my sin. Therefore, I need the Lord to be my Savior." Has there been that shameless entering in, striving to lay hold upon Christ? It is those that strive that enter in. It is those that seek that will find. It's those that call out shall be saved. Bartimaeus, after this day, he gets big of that time he shamelessly sought for Christ. Can you say that? But the psalmist, "I sought the Lord and he heard me." Is he saving faith, or is this laying hold upon the Lord? We see in his determination not only that his faith was shameless, but also his faith was strong. Notice what it says in verse 50 here. "And he casting away his garments rose and came to Jesus." As Bartimaeus cast away his garments and came to Christ, this was a statement in itself. He was saying through his actions, "I'm leaving my old life, my begging behind." The garment he cast away would have been the large outer coat or garment that in Bible times people used to wear. And they would have worn this outer garment not only during the day, but it would also have been their covering at night. It was therefore a very important garment, something that was essential, really. The outer coat was such an important item that if someone borrowed something of another person, they would give their coat as a pledge until the borrowed item was returned. And this is what people did in Israel. If they were borrowing something off their neighbor, they would give their neighbor their coat, the outer garment, as a pledge. And they would hold on to that garment until the thing that they had lent was returned again. God actually gave a commandment to Israel in Deuteronomy 24 regarding the poor and their coat or this outer garment. And listen to what God told Israel. It says this in Deuteronomy 24, "And if the man be poor, thou shalt not sleep with his pledge. In any case, thou shalt deliver him the pledge again when the sun goeth down, that he may sleep in his own raiment." And so this gives us some idea of the importance of this garment. It was that which a man slept in. It wasn't just the outer coat, but it was that which kept him warm at night. And so the Lord was saying, listen, if a poor man borrows something off you and he's not able to return it by nightfall, give him back his coat. Don't have him sleeping in the cold. And that's what the Lord told Israel. But notice what Bartimaeus does here. He casts aside his coat. In his determination to get to Christ, this valuable outer garment, this coat that would have kept him warm at night, he just cast it aside. The actions of Bartimaeus show us another wonderful characteristic of saving faith. Saving faith does not drag after it the garments of sin or the coverings of self-righteousness. Instead, it casts all away and it cries out, "Lord, save me." This is what saving faith does. It cries out, "Christ alone." And this is what Bartimaeus was doing. He was leaving his coat. He was leaving his outer garment behind. And all that was important, all that was really of great value to this man at this point in his life, was that he might lay hold upon Christ and that he might find him and find his salvation. When you ask a person who is a Christian, are they saved? They don't talk about their garment. They don't talk about the garment they wear in life. They talk about the Savior. This is very often how you know someone is a true believer or not. Perhaps when you're doing outreach or evangelism, or just maybe meeting someone, and you'll say, well, are you a Christian? Are you saved? There are those who will talk about their outer garment. They will talk about their church. They maybe will say, well, you know, I'm religious or I'm a Protestant. And they'll talk about their outer garment. But you know what the person who is truly Christ, the person who has saving faith will say? Well, Christ is my Savior. They'll not talk about their outer garment. They'll talk about Christ. What about you tonight? If I was to ask you the question directly, are you saved? Are you a Christian? What would you talk about? What would you talk about? Would you say, yes, I know Christ as my Savior? That's who I'm trusting in. On Christ and Christ alone. I'm not trusting in my church. I'm not trusting in my minister. I'm not trusting in my righteousness. I'm not trusting in my good works. I'm trusting in Christ. I'm a Christian. Bartimaeus was a man of faith. So therefore, with great determination, he laid hold upon Christ. This is what saving faith does. We have here then the desire in his faith, the determination in his faith. Notice thirdly here, the declaration in his faith. We have this in verse 51. "And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight." After Bartimaeus gets the attention of the Savior, the Lord Jesus asks him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" This is a wonderful question posed by the Savior. I love these words, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The Lord does not ask Bartimaeus, "What can I do for you?" And of course, that would be something that we could ask someone who was asking for help. If someone was to ask you for help, you would say, "Well, what can I do for you?" That's not what Christ asks here. The Lord Jesus says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The question Christ poses reveals to us, Christ, as he works in salvation, works in us. He doesn't just work for us. He also works in us. He changes us as individuals. And that's why he says, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Of course, the Lord Jesus knew what Bartimaeus needed. He is the Son of God. He knows all things. He's omniscient, complete and full knowledge. But before Christ worked in Bartimaeus' life, he needed Bartimaeus to confess in a very particular way his need. Blind Bartimaeus had already cried out for mercy, and we have noted that. But now as he stands face to face with the Savior, it was necessary for him in a particular way to express his need. And this is what he does in verse 50. Lord, that I might receive my sight. This is such a tremendous declaration of faith. Bartimaeus addresses Christ as Lord, which means my master. He was telling Christ, I'm your disciple. I'm placing myself at your feet. That's why he calls him Lord. You're my master. I want to obey you. I want to follow you. He completely trusted in the Savior. Then he asks that he might receive his sight. This simple request shows us that blind Bartimaeus believed Christ was the one who could meet his great need. He knew his problem was not beyond the power of the one who he addressed here as my Lord. He knew his problem was not beyond the power of Christ. This was not a request Bartimaeus would have made of anyone else. He would never have stopped another bypasser on the road to Jericho there and said, listen, could you deliver me of blindness? I would like to receive sight. Could you do this for me? He would never, ever have done it with anyone else. But you see, he wasn't standing before anyone else here. He was standing in the presence of the one who his faith rested in. And so here we have this great declaration of his faith. Lord, that I might receive my sight. Lord, that I might receive my sight. As I've said, Christ is passing this way tonight. Every time the gospel is preached, the Savior always passes by. He always comes into the midst. But imagine Christ was to come tonight into our meeting and was to stop with you and was to ask you the question, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? What would your response be? What would your response be tonight? If Christ was to come and ask you this question, would you own him as your Lord? Would you ask him to deal with your greatest need? Your sin? And its consequences, which has taken you to hell? Is that what you would do? If Christ was to come into this meeting and speak to you personally, would you say, oh, deal with my sin? Because it's dragging me down to the lowest hell itself. It's bringing the wrath and judgment of a holy God upon my head. It's barring me from God's heaven. Is this how you would respond to the Savior? Or would you sit in unbelief? Would you sit there in unbelief and not seek him? Remember, Christ is here tonight. He is passing this way. Therefore, will you declare your faith by calling out to him and asking him to deliver you and save you from the great problem of your sin? Or are you going to just continue on in your unbelief and continue on as a perishing sinner? The declaration of his faith here, the determination of it, the desire in his faith. One last thing, notice with me quickly, and that is the direction of his faith. Verse 52 brings before us the direction of Bartimaeus' faith. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. What is important to note here in the faith of Bartimaeus is the direction his life took after he met Christ. The direction his life took was completely in line with the declaration of faith which he had made. As he declared his faith, he said, Lord, or my master. And now in his life, he proves this indeed is the case. The Lord was his master. We see the direction of his life is a completely different direction that it takes. Because it tells us here at the end of verse 52, he followed Jesus in the way. Saving faith, when it is exercised in a sinner's life, always gives new direction. Always gives new direction to that life. Bartimaeus could now do what he never had could dream of before. He could now do what he'd never been able to do before. He could follow Christ. He could join with those people that love to hear his word and witness his works. He himself could now go from place to place and speak to others of the power and salvation of Christ, because he himself had experienced it. Those who knew Bartimaeus could see a life that was transformed and could tell all that his life was a new life, a different life. All things had passed away, and all things had become new for Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus' life was completely different because he, by faith, had met with Christ. After meeting the Savior, imagine this man staggered back to his usual place by the roadside. He met Christ, but afterwards, he just went back and he sat down there and he got his garment on again, got his begging bowl and he set it out. And he continued to beg. Continued to beg. And yet as he continued to beg, he told everybody there, "Well, you know, I'm a different person. I can see now. I have met the Lord Jesus. My life has changed." Imagine that happened. He would say that was nonsense. He would say the very fact that he was still begging at the side of the road, his life hadn't changed, reveals very clearly that he was still blind. His life was still going in the same direction. That's what you would say. But how many who claim to be Christians do just that? Do the very same. They claim to have met Christ. They make a profession of salvation. They talk about a point in their life when they met the Lord. But the evidence of their life is this. They're still sitting in darkness. There's no following Christ in the way. That's the evidence. Bartimaeus, his faith did not just bring him to Christ. It kept him with Christ. He continued to follow. And you see, this is what saving faith does. It continually looks unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This is what true saving faith. And never forget, dear friend, tonight, that you can have the faith of devils. You can have the faith of devils, as James speaks about. Which is faith that does not save. The devils believe in God and tremble, James says. But saving faith is faith that not only looks to Christ. Saving faith lives for Christ. It follows Christ in the way. The New Testament does not speak much about backsliding. It doesn't speak much about backsliding. It does speak often about false professions. If you turn up your New Testament and read it, you will find it in the New Testament that Christ did not speak very much about backsliding, but he did speak much about false professions. Think of the five wise virgins and five foolish virgins. Five were wise, five were foolish. Five were saved, five were lost. Yet those that were lost thought they were saved. Think of the parable of the sower sowing the seed into four different types of ground. In regard to three different types of ground, only one seed brought forth fruit. The other two seeds started out well. In other words, they made a profession, but there was nothing genuine. Again, think of Christ's words in Matthew 7, where he speaks about in the last day. Many shall cry, "Lord, Lord, have we not done this, that, and the other thing?" Christ will say, "I never knew you. I never knew you." See, the Lord Jesus in the Scriptures speaks much about false professions and very little about backsliding. Do you know what we do today? We speak much about backsliding, very, very little about false profession. Where do you stand tonight, dear friend? Let's just consider this in closing. What direction is your life going? What direction is it going? I'm not asking you tonight about some experience you had in your life where you said a prayer, raised your hand. But I'm asking you this, is there a positive following of the Savior in your life? Do you love His word? Do you love His ways? Is it your desire and longing to walk in His truth? To be His disciple. This will be the case if there's true saving faith in your heart and in your soul. But if this is not the case, then the only biblical conclusion that we can draw is this. You've never exercised saving faith in Jesus Christ. You're not saved. Oh, dear friend, far better would it be to address this issue now. Deal with it now. Than to stand before God in the judgment. And to hear the words of Christ saying, depart from me, cursed. I never knew you. I never knew you. You know what the glorious truth is tonight? Christ is available. And He is passing this way. He's coming right through this meeting tonight. He's coming here and He's waiting for those that will cry to Him by faith. And He will save all that will. He will receive all that seek Him. Oh, I trust tonight that you, like Bartimaeus, will see your need for Christ and flee to Him. Call upon Him. Seek Him as your Savior. I trust you will. May God even give you grace to do so for His own name's sake. Amen. And amen.